Well, hello there. Welcome to a new episode of the Liberators Network podcast. Episode 90, to be precise. So we're reaching the 100 milestone. My name is Christian Verwijs, and today's episode is all about liberating structures and how we think they should be everywhere people interact. We will explore the psychological power of liberating structures, what makes them work, and how you can use them within your own situations where people are together, like your team or your family, friends, whatever you can do, church communities, will give you a lot of different examples. But before diving into the episode, I want to take a moment to thank the patrons who are supporting our show as well as all the other free content that we are creating for the Agile community. You can go to patreon.com/liberators to find out how you can also support us. Your support is definitely useful because it allows Barry and me to create more content like this and to find the time to do this. As you just heard, this is episode 90, so basically our patrons have already made it possible for us to record 90 episodes of approximately 20 to 30 minutes per episode. So that's quite a lot of content that we've already made available. In return for your support through Patreon, you get a whole bunch of nice benefits. For example, you can get a discount in our webshop, you can get a discount to use the Scrum Team Survey with more than just one team, you can also get access to all our digital downloads for free, you get access to our Discord server, you can join our meetups, and there are many other nice benefits for you to explore. We're happy with whatever you can do to support us. If you cannot support us with money, that's fine too, we understand. But maybe you can share this episode with your friends, with colleagues, with teams in your organization, or just share it on LinkedIn so that other people can learn about it too. Or you can leave a nice review for it so that people can learn about what's valuable to you about this podcast and so that they can give it a try also. But having said all that, let's jump into today's episode about liberating structures, which is one of my personal topics. Enjoy! The title for today's episode is Liberating Structures Should Be Everywhere People Interact. Now that's quite a bold statement, I know. And it may be just confusing to you if you have no idea what liberating structures are. But don't worry, I'll explain this in more detail in a few moments. But the inspiration for today's episode came when Barry and I were reflecting on how people often use liberating structures. And this includes ourselves. As you may know, we frequently host two-day immersion workshops, where the aim is to let people experience as many liberating structures as we can within 2 days. It's really a roller coaster-like experience that is designed to help you learn and experience liberating structures so that you can use them in any setting afterwards. But still, those settings are usually quite typical. They are workshops, training, classes, maybe meetings, but that's usually where it ends. This includes us, by the way. Now, what's interesting is that liberating structures are a language for how people interact. Once you learn to speak and recognize its symbols and its grammar, you start to see its potential everywhere people interact. I know how weird that sounds, especially when you've never experienced them before. But this potential affirms my belief that we should use liberating structures everywhere people interact. Unfortunately, it's not that easy. Henry Libmanovich, one of the founders of Liberating Structures, recently surveyed practitioners. He found that even very experienced practitioners tend to limit their use to more obvious settings, like workshops, classes, and training, but not to other settings, like recurring meetings, social settings, and informal settings. And that includes me too. So today's episode is about trying to figure out why this is so, to also help you understand what liberating structures are if you're new to them, and to give you some examples of how to use them in non-typical settings. And let me be frank up front. I too am scared when I use liberating structures in non-typical settings. I have tried to use them with friends and with success, but it's always scary because it's somehow different from using it in a work setting. I'll give you a lot of examples of how you can use liberating structures in these settings also, so that you can give them a try. And if you have some experience afterward, please let us know. We're happy to learn about this. But before we dive into the use of liberating structures in non-typical settings, let's first begin with a quick primer on liberating structures in case you're not familiar with them. Liberating structures are the life work of Keith McCandless and Henry Libmanovich. There are 33 of them. Each liberating structure is basically a simple recipe to structure the interaction in a group of any size to achieve a specific purpose. For example, there is a liberating structure called impromptu networking, which is really easy. It is designed to rapidly share challenges and insights and to build connections with others in the room. You can do this with small groups of 10 people or hundreds of people. It always takes 3 rounds and between 15 to 20 minutes. Each round you ask participants to pair up with another participant. And in their pair they have a few minutes to respond to a shared question. For example, at the start of a gathering you could ask something like, "What are the challenges, possibilities and opportunities you see for us today as a group moving forward?" Or you could ask something like, "With everything we worked through here today, what was most surprising, insightful or interesting to you?" That would be a nice one to close a session or gathering with. Now within their pairs, people discuss their thoughts, ideas and response to these questions and they try to build on them in a few minutes. After a few minutes, you give a signal and new pairs are formed, so people find another partner. And they still respond to the same question within their new pairs. However, we also always ask people to start noticing patterns across the rounds. It might be possible that what some people say in round 1 is also heard again in round 2 and eventually in round 3, because in total you have 3 of these rounds. At the end of these 3 rounds, people have formed 3 different pairs and responded to the question 3 times. And they've also heard 3 responses from their partners. So at the end you take a few minutes to do a shared debrief with the whole group to ask for some really interesting patterns that people noticed while taking turns in their pairs. The liberating structure impromptu networking is really good at noticing patterns with a group of any size. You can then explore these patterns in more detail with other liberating structures that follow up this one. You can also use it to recap important learnings. Impromptu networking also highlights several characteristics that all 33 liberating structures adhere to. The first is that everyone in the group has the opportunity to contribute, regardless of their background, knowledge, experience, or group status. The second is that all liberating structures trust in the experience, creativity, and wisdom of the participants to determine what is important. And finally, liberating structures are designed to be so easy that anyone can facilitate them, regardless of experience. The structure will take most of the strain and do most of the work, so basically it ensures that you'll have a good outcome. For all its strengths, impromptu networking serves a specific interactional purpose. If you do this at the start of a gathering, you would definitely need to do more to explore and develop the patterns that you identify. This is where the other liberating structures come into play, and each of them serves another specific purpose. For example, there is a liberating structure called Troika Consulting, which is designed to allow people to give and get help on a specific personal challenge or a challenge that is shared by the group. There's also a structure called Critical Uncertainties, which is designed to allow groups to develop strategies to remain effective even in different potential future scenarios. The true strength of liberating structures is apparent when you string them together, and where the insights that you generate with one structure flow naturally into another. Typically, these are called strings, and in our work, what we find is that we usually at least use 3 different liberating structures, but often many more. In the immersion workshops that I mentioned earlier, we sometimes use strings of 5, 6, 7 or even more liberating structures where we take the group through an experience where their insights from one flow into another. And you can get some really cool insights coming out at the end. The psychological power of liberating structures. Up to this point, it is easy to conclude that liberating structures are like any other facilitation toolkit. This is what I initially thought when I learned about them. In fact, I distinctly remember listening to Johannes Schartau in a pub after Scrum Day Europe 2013. He had just learned about them and experienced them and he was telling me about how awesome they were. I remember being quite skeptical of the whole thing. And I can imagine that you may be too. But then I experienced them firsthand myself. First at the Liberating Structures Immersion Workshop in Berlin, and then at the first immersion workshop that we hosted in the Netherlands in Amsterdam with Keith McCandless, Fischer Kwa, Barry Overeem and Ruben Klerks and Koen Brouwer in March of 2018. It slowly started to dawn on me that something else was happening during these gatherings, something that I hadn't seen before so clearly in my previous work with groups. I saw so many happy faces around me. I saw so many people intently listening to each other as each shared a personal story. And I saw so many people touched by the awareness that others were really listening to them as they shared those stories. This did not escape the participants either. One described it as a social movement, another described it as jazz music, and another participant simply said that it was the best thing that happened to him in his working life. Just look at some of the pictures that Lisanne Lenting took of the various immersion workshops that we've done, and you'll see what I mean. Now, it's hard to share pictures in a podcast, so the link in the show notes will show you the pictures and hopefully let you draw the same conclusion. There are a lot of happy faces in there, people that are genuinely excited about noticing that other people are listening to them and are paying attention to their stories. Initially, I dismissed these insights as a consequence of selection bias. I assumed that the people who attended these kinds of gatherings were just more open to it, and therefore liked it more. But then I started noticing the same faces in all the other places where we were using them. This made me realize that there was something to liberating structures that was causing this in people and their interactions. Over time, Barry Overeem and I started noticing how each liberating structure was actually carefully tuned to create a positive psychological experience for participants. I'll give you some examples. There is a liberating structure called appreciative interviews. In this structure, participants first share a personal success story with another person. This is a pleasant experience in itself. It's always nice to share a success story that you've been part of. Then the pair joins another pair, and each person retells the story of their partner in their own words. So here you have someone else retelling your success story in their own words, thus acknowledging your experience and how it felt. This is always a great experience for participants. I've never seen this fail. A second example is Troika Consulting. In this structure, three participants give and get help to each other on a personal challenge in three quick rounds. In each round, one person is the client and the others are the consultants. The client first shares their personal challenge, and then they have to turn their back to the consultants who have to face each other. Instead of talking to the client, the consultants are asked to talk about the challenge and the solutions they see, while the client has their back turned to them and is only allowed to listen to them. So the client has to remain silent and cannot in any way influence the consultants. At the end of a time box of about 5 minutes, the client turns back and shares what was useful about the solutions that they heard the consultants talk about. There are always smiling faces throughout Troika, especially when the client turns back. It's a very pleasant experience for clients to listen to two other people come up with solutions to their challenge, just as it is pleasant for the consultants to be able to offer help and see the client turn back with a smile on their face. Furthermore, Troika effectively puts everyone in the position where they can help twice and receive help once. This feels very good to participants, and everyone always likes Troika and gets a lot of value out of it. The liberating structure impromptu networking is a good third example of this, because everyone has the opportunity to quickly connect with three people in a room and respond to a shared question. Good insights tend to spread naturally over the rounds. These often include insights from the voices that you don't always hear in large groups, because people may be more shy or reserved in larger groups. But because those people mention their insights to other people, the other people can then repeat them in future rounds. So what we often notice at the end of the impromptu networking and the debrief that we do is that, for example, one person says something like, "I heard my partner from round two offer this great idea." Again, people are contributing and recognizing the contribution of others. This is also what happens in most other liberating structures, like 1-2 for All, TRIS, Wicked Questions, MinSpecs, Conversation Cafe, and so on. The liberating structure Conversation Cafe is itself a good example of the power of liberating structures. In this structure, a small group of participants takes time to talk about a deep question or a shared challenge, we usually have between 4 and 7 participants. The structure takes place over 4 rounds, and the first 2 involve one person speaking at a time while the others are only allowed to listen, until the turn is passed to another person. In the first round, people simply respond to the shared challenge by giving their experience with it. In the second round, people may thank certain members for their contribution, or they may ask open questions that can be answered in the next round, or they can notice patterns that they observed in the first round. In the third round, there is a lively conversation around anything that the group still wants to talk about, any patterns they noticed, questions that they want to respond to from the previous round. And this usually takes about 10 minutes. Because listening is such an integral part of this structure, the experience is very rewarding. Because at the end, the fourth round basically means that participants recap for themselves what was useful about the conversations and what they take from it. This is also a great opportunity for people to thank each other, and this is something we often see in Conversation Cafe. People take time to thank others for being open and sharing their personal experience with a challenge. And it's also nice to hear in others what they take from your stories and your experiences that you shared. Now, the pattern that connects all these examples is that each liberating structure is purposefully designed to create a space where everyone can be heard, seen, and respected. And that always happens in response to a specific invitation or a question that gives purpose to the interaction. This is also what makes it feel important and meaningful to people. Now, contrast that psychological experience with what usually happens when you put a group of people together. The example that comes to mind for most is the standard office meeting. How heard, seen, and respected do you feel there? How do other people feel, really? And just how purposeful are those meetings anyway? Or is it happening just because it always does? And who decides to put these people together and not a larger group or a smaller group? Are these the most important people to put together, really? Are these the most important people who should spend time on this? It all seems very wasteful to me, both of the time and of the human attention, to put people in an office room without a clear purpose, without clear invitations, and without a clear structure that allows everyone to be heard, seen, and respected. And why stop at office meetings? Although they are the first thing that often come to mind, probably because they're so horrible for most people, there are many other interactions that could become more meaningful and fulfilling in those who participate too, like gatherings with friends, religious events, educational activities, informal meetings, birthday parties? Unfortunately, even the experienced practitioners of liberating structures fail to capitalize on that potential, as the survey by Henry Lipmanovic shows. Liberating structures in not-so-obvious places. So, while I struggle greatly to apply liberating structures to not-so-obvious places, I definitely try, and I know the same is true for Barry. For example, I organized my birthday party with liberating structures. This experiment was born out of the realization that some of the most meaningful conversations I've had with other people happened at birthday parties. But unfortunately, the way most birthday parties work, at least in the Netherlands, makes this hard. Usually, clusters of people that know each other sit together, and it makes it hard to jump in. And for some reason, the conversation usually remains superficial and covers typical topics like work, your kids, games, movies, your health, and so on. I wanted to see if we could get to more meaningful conversations with a string of liberating structures. It certainly wasn't perfect, but the experience was good for everyone. My friends still mentioned the conversations they had there. The only challenge that I've discovered was that I was sort of facilitating the whole evening, so it was hard for me to also participate and actually chat with my friends during the string as well. But fortunately, we still had a couple of hours of party left after we did the string. It was also nice to observe that a lot of friends were mixing up far more than was typical at birthday parties, even after the string had completed. So people that did not know each other before the evening started actually continued to talk throughout the evening, and I thought that that was really cool. Another not-so-obvious place where we used liberating structures was in those casual catch-up moments with professional peers. For example, Barry and I have done a series of remote conversation cafes with Fisher Kwa and Anna Jackson, who are both also very active in the liberating structures community. But we've also done it with two other business owners and entrepreneurs to learn from them and they from us. This was a good opportunity to connect on a personal level and to keep in touch, while also sticking to a structure for that interaction that ensured that everyone could contribute equally. I was also able to use Drawing Together and Conversation Cafe to de-escalate a highly escalated family conflict. I have to admit that that was one of the hardest cases where I ever used liberating structures, but I think it worked, and people that were part of it still say that it was useful at the end, and they still talk about it to this day. Now, recently I was invited to a brainstorm for a local volunteer-based initiative to bring together people from all walks of life to talk about life, living, and being alive. These are very big topics, and we found that it was a good idea to use liberating structures for this. Now, what was extra special about this evening was that it brought together a group of people from a very multicultural neighborhood, from different age groups and from different belief systems. It was a great evening, and also here people still talk about it and about what happened and how people easily connected with people they would not normally talk with in their day-to-day life. I thought it was a great example of the psychological power of liberating structures, that it can even create safety in situations where you bring people together that would not normally talk with each other and have wildly different experience of life. Let's move to some closing words. I believe that everyone longs for authentic and meaningful contact with others. We all want to feel heard, seen, and respected, and liberating structures seem to make that possible in many different settings. On a deeper level, I also feel that liberating structures allow something to happen between people that doesn't happen easily elsewhere. You can just feel it in the room and see it on the faces of people. This is something that we always take joy in when we host an immersion workshop or use liberating structures with a group of people that have never experienced it before. You can just see that they see that there is something happening in the group that they probably haven't seen before elsewhere. Let us work together to create more of those environments and more of those experiences and make the world better because of it. And that brings me to the end of today's episode. I hope you learned something new about liberating structures and the psychological power that they bring to gatherings of any kind. I hope I also gave you some inspiration on how you can use liberating structures in not so obvious settings. If you have experiences to share, please do, because we're always happy to learn what your experiences with liberating structures are in those not so typical settings. Now, if you liked today's episode, please like it, rate it, or review it on the platform that you're listening on, and you can also support the show at patreon.com/liberators. Thank you so much for listening and for taking time out of a busy day to learn something new. I hope to see you again for our next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.